Today's message is called The Breaking of the Will. Breaking of the Will. Now you can say, is that a play on words? Well, we'll find out. The breaking of the will. So would you pray with me? Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to grant me utterance to speak this morning. Lord, I ask you to give me ears to hear your voice, that I may speak what you're speaking, that I may see what you're doing and do what you're doing today. I pray the same for all of us here today, that you would open our understanding, Lord, sow into our hearts with understanding the truth, the word, Lord, that is able to transform us and conform us into your likeness, into your image. We want to be like you, Lord Jesus. So we ask you to do a work by your Holy Spirit and through your word today, in Jesus' name. Scripture reading from Luke chapter 23, verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Now, I wanted to bring up, if you can get that up on there, is Bruce going in the back? There's a, if you go down into, we reduced it down, but there's a tabernacle, Judy, you find it on the bottom. A picture of the tabernacle. I want to bring it up for just for a reference, if you can find it. There it is. How many have seen the tabernacle before? Have you ever done a study on the tabernacle? Oh, it's amazing. It is amazing. It is a picture of Christ, amen, in redemption. And so I want to talk a little bit about this today. I've got a, Bruce gave me one of these things. I'll try not to point it at you. But right there, you see that thing right there? I'll see if I can hold it steady. Yeah. That is a veil between, this is the most holy, the holy of holies, the most holy place, and this is the outer court. Okay, so there's three chambers here, but right there is a very thick veil or like a tapestry. And Jewish tradition says it was anywhere from 4 to 6 inches thick. And it basically had, in this place, the Holy of Holies, okay, is where the very Shekinah glory of the Lord rested here on the earth, in this place, in this tabernacle. And if anyone went behind that veil and they were not prepared, okay, they would be smitten simply by the sheer holiness of God, because no sin can be in God's presence. So they would actually tie a rope around the high priest, around his ankle, and they would put bells on him, so that if they heard the bell stop, they would have to drag a corpse out, because he could not be in there unless he was holy in every way. All right? Now, there's a lesson here that I want us to focus on today. When Jesus died on the cross, it says that this veil right there, that curtain, okay, this is a top view, was rent from top to bottom, meaning the way into the holiest of holy, right, has been made available to us now, through his broken, all right, body. We now have access to the very throne of God. Okay? And so this veil really represents a barrier that was between God and man. All right? And that barrier was sin. Amen? It represents the sin nature, the fallen nature of man. And so no flesh could glory in his presence. No flesh could come in to the Lord's presence, all right? Except the high priest once a year, and never without the covering of blood, all right? And so our high priest, Jesus Christ, amen, went to the cross, shed his blood, amen, for our forgiveness. He paid the price we deserve to pay. And then with his own blood, he went into heaven itself, because this tabernacle here is a picture of heaven, what's actually in heaven. Amen. All right? And there's a lot to be said about this, but I just want to focus on a few things. And today I want to really look at that veil and what that veil represents and how that works in our spiritual life. All right? So natural man cannot have fellowship with God, all right, because of this veil. that separated us from God. All right. In Isaiah 59:1, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." So sin disqualifies us from God's presence. God hears, God sees, he knows everything. Amen. But sin is a barrier to his presence. So the sin problem had to be dealt with. Jesus did that. He dealt with the sin problem. Amen. And opened the way into the holiest. So now we can come by way of the blood of the new covenant, having our hearts sprinkled. Amen. By the blood of Christ, we can come with confidence or with boldness into the very Holy of Holies, or the throne room of grace, the throne of our Father. Amen. We, in the very beginning, were designed for God. Amen. For a relationship with God. Adam and Eve had unbroken fellowship with God. Amen. Their spirit, soul, and body, three parts of them, were in complete harmony with the Lord until sin came. Amen. And sin separated the spirit of man. So he just became, in a sense, like an animated corpse. He was dead to the life of God, amen, but he could still eat and think and breathe, and he still had his faculties, amen. He could feel emotions, right? That's our soul. And I want to kind of talk about the difference between the soul and the spirit, because it's necessary for us to understand the importance, hear me, of feeding your spirit, making sure that your spirit man is taken care of, all right? Because you do not want to live, all right, a life, hallelujah, in the soul, absent of the presence of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. How many know that is a recipe for disaster? Man living independent of God. And that's what happened. Man now chose to use his will, amen, to deny or to reject God's will for him because of the sin nature that we received. So, again, after the Lord's crucifixion, that veil was torn, all right? And it says in Hebrews 9:11, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is not of this creation." Okay. Where's that tabernacle? Okay. "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood as high priest." All right. "He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." Jesus went into heaven itself. He is our forerunner. He went before us. Amen. And so we in Christ are actually connected to him in the spirit so that we can have communion with him in the secret place. Or we can actually have communion with him in our spirit, which is that innermost part of us. All right. We have a spirit, amen, but that spirit must be regenerated by the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, together in our spirit, amen, is how we have communion with God. All right? So there is a difference, all right, and between the soul and the spirit, and I want to get into that. Under the old system, only the high priest was permitted to go into the Holy of Holies, which was the dwelling place of God on the earth, amen? And atonement, by the way, Jesus came to make atonement for us, means a state of being made one with God, at one, if you will. Atonement. So atonement means reconcile, right? To be reconciled back to God. The only way we can be made right with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And not by anything that we can do. Because, amen, because all of us have sinned and fallen short, and all of us have had that veil that separated us between God and ourselves. Amen. Jesus tore that veil. And so you have to think of yourself as being the temple of the Holy Spirit with three parts. Amen. One part visible, which would be your body. And then you have your mind, your emotions, your will. Amen. And that's your soul. But then there's this place where we meet with God. We're able to commune with God. And that is your spirit, man. All right. That is where we worship. Jesus said the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Okay. So true worship is actually from our spirit and not from our mind or our intellect. Okay. And so we have to know the difference. All right. So the natural man, it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned or judged. So natural man who is not born again, all right, still has a veil over his heart, separating him from the life and fellowship of the Lord, all right? And so in order for us to have life and peace, all right, in the Holy Spirit, our self-will has to be dealt with. Very important. So our self-will needs to come under God's will. All right? Your will is part of who you are. God gave you a will to choose. So you can choose to use your will to basically rebel against God. But life and peace is in the Holy Spirit. Amen? When our spirit is in harmony with the Spirit of God, then even our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions will also be at rest. They'll be in harmony. Amen? So with God. And so this is the thing, is that we want our soul, amen, to be overtaken or overcome or controlled by the Spirit of God in us. When the Spirit of God is in charge, we have life and peace. That's why we worship the Lord in spirit, amen, so that we receive that impartation of His grace that will overcome our outer man, our weakness, amen, and we will come into a place of true peace, because only true peace comes from Jesus. So a born-again believer can now have a relationship with God because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. However, hear me, that relationship can be hindered if she or he does not deal with the flesh, which is that veil that we got to deal with. Amen. When God breaks through in salvation, there is a tearing. Amen. That takes place within us. It's a circumcision of the heart. All right. Where the life of God now penetrates into our spirit. Amen. And so initially, amen, we hear, amen, and we reason with our mind and we evaluate maybe the message that we hear, amen, but it's only by faith in the message, amen, that God is going to come and dwell within us. That's why He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, amen, and if you hear His voice and you open the door, what? He will come in. So you and I are the doorkeeper to our spirit. We, by an act of our will in our soul, must cooperate with the Spirit of God and give Him permission to reign over us or reign over our soul. Is that making sense? So when a Christian is carnal or spiritually immature, they're still controlled mainly by their own will, mind, and emotions. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we can live in the Spirit. We can have the Spirit of God in us, but not walk in the Spirit. Is that making sense? So in other words, a spiritually immature person is usually very unstable because they're unstable because they're what? Double-minded. They're soulish and spiritual. Amen. So every day we have to make the decision, who's going to be in charge? Who's going to be on the throne of our hearts? Who are we going to allow to rule over us? Our soul or our spirit? A spiritual person is one who has learned how to yield to the Spirit of God and allow the life of the Spirit to work through them, through their soul, to the outward world. And because of Jesus, because of His sacrifice, now we can have access. Amen. And God can have access to us. So if a person is spiritually immature, okay, they're going to be controlled primarily by their soul, their emotions, their will, right? Their mind. Okay. So example, if it's sunny outside, they're happy. If it's rainy, they're sad. They're feeling loved one day and unloved the next. They're unstable emotionally. But see, there's healing available even to your emotions. But it has to be by the Spirit of God working in that soul, you see. We're believers, so we believe to the saving of the soul. Psuche. A spiritual immature is impulsive, often making decisions without consulting or waiting on the Lord. A spiritual immature person judges things by appearance. Ever do that? Say amen, right? A spiritually immature person is not able to discern correctly or make proper judgments. We may think we do. How many have thought we had a great idea and found out it wasn't such a great idea? So the Lord is wanting to teach us how to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, depend upon the Spirit, live from the Spirit of God and not from our soul. Our soul needs to be submitted. We submit ourselves to the Spirit of God, and then we have life and peace. Then we have direction for our lives. Amen. So a spiritually mature Christian has learned how to successfully deny themselves and depend upon the Holy Spirit to accomplish God's will. And again, remember, the veil represents the flesh or the sin nature of man. So the will of the flesh interferes with the Spirit's activity or the will of God. Amen. That's why we need to die to ourselves. We have to deny ourselves. It has to be an act of our will engaging, amen, in this process and saying, I know what the Lord wants me to do, but this is what I want to do. And the question is, who's going to be in charge? Who's going to win that battle? And I have found that when I give in to my soulish inclinations, amen, and I'm feeding my soul more than I am my spirit, then all of a sudden I find myself losing peace, becoming anxious, becoming short, becoming miserable. Come on. Why? Because we weren't ever designed to live simply from our soul. That's fallen man lives simply from his soul. Amen. But when we come into Christ, now we have the capacity and the ability to live from the life of Christ. Amen. That the life of Christ in me will overcome the outer man or the soul man, and I'll have life and peace in this world, regardless of whether it's raining or not. Galatians 5:16, I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So we've got to focus our attention on our spirit, building up your spirit man. Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Where do we meet with the Lord? In our innermost being, in our heart, in our spirit. We're to be strong in the Spirit. Amen. As we worship in spirit, we are filled with the Spirit, and our soul automatically, amen, becomes humbled in the presence of God. And we have life and peace. So our human will is stubborn, would you agree? Wants its own way. So our will must be broken, hear me, in order to become useful to the Lord. All right. Hebrews 12:6, for the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all his children, it means that you are illegitimate, and are not really his children at all. So this is the thing. We have to understand that he's a perfect father. He knows what works in our lives. And there has to be a breaking of the will, all right, in order for us to have the proper fellowship with the Father and to be in a position where we are a humble, yielded, and willing vessel that God can trust and that God can use. So I'll give you an example. I was one of those kids growing up that spent a lot of time in the corner. How many remember the corner? I don't know if they do that anymore. Do they still do the corner? I don't know. But yeah, they even had one of these things called a dunce hat, you know. So anyways, I spent a little time in the corner as a boy growing up. And even though I was forced to sit in the corner, I might be standing up on the inside, if you know what I'm saying. So you made me do this, but you know, inside I'm completely in rebellion to this whole thing. All right. So the real challenge is to get a child to sit down on the inside. That's what God is doing in us. He wants to teach us how to sit at his feet. Amen. And to yield to his voice, to obey him, follow his direction. All right. A good illustration of how the spirit and the soul works is if you think of a powerful wild stallion, okay, running rampant, just running throughout, you know, the wilderness. All right. Well, that horse is strong. It's mighty. It's powerful. Amen. And it's got a very strong will of its own. Amen. But that horse is not very useful in that context. Amen. Except for reproducing and eating and sleeping, whatever. Making sense? And the same thing is unbroken man or unregenerate man or natural man lives simply a soulish life independent of God's rule. Okay. But that stallion, if you can take that stallion and you can break that stallion, as they call it, breaking a horse, amen, breaking its will so that that horse now becomes user friendly, amen, so that the rider, amen, has a horse that he can now use in a productive way, amen. So it is, our spirit, amen, is like the rider that's supposed to be in charge in directing the soul, amen, of what we do in our bodies even, which are connected to our soul, where the spirit within us is supposed to be in charge, amen, as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit in our spirit, amen, then we take charge and we discipline our soul to obey the will of God. Is that making sense? Mm-hmm. You tell yourself, I will bless the Lord. That's what the psalmist, we can talk to each other, amen? We can talk to ourselves. What is that? It's saying there's more than one of you in the sense that there's two parts or three parts all together if you count the body, just as we see the pattern, amen, in the wilderness. So we need to be a user-friendly vessel for the Lord. But if the rider is weak or the rider is absent, then that horse is going to just continue to run wild, do its own thing, and not live a productive life. Is that making sense? So we need to be in a place where we understand the value of having life in the Spirit with the Lord, amen, a life of joy, of righteousness and peace and joy, amen, in Him. So that now my mind, my will, my emotions are also under the influence of the Spirit of God as I cooperate with Him in my heart. And I have life and peace. So the key is to focus on feeding your spirit. You need to feed your spirit more than you feed your soul with entertainment and pleasures and these other things that are constantly screaming for our attention in the world. Come on. To get us to waste our time playing video games endlessly for hours. You understand how the enemy's trying to get people to engage their soul but deny their spirit. God wants to reign from our spirit through the soul so that we will bear fruit unto eternal life. So the breaking of this will is necessary. You know, if you don't deal with a child's stubborn will when they're young, eventually you'll have a teenager defying you to your face. And again, we're all like that stubborn child naturally, right? That needs to be disciplined. So don't despise the discipline of the Lord. He's where if you're a believer, Christ is in you. Amen. He's working in your life. He's trying to bring you to a place where you understand that you cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. We got to feed our spirit. Amen. With the word of God. Amen. The hypocrite is one who's learned how to perform outwardly, but inwardly they're someone else. So they can play church, play Christian, speak Christian, or even play clergy. But inwardly, they rebel against the discipline of the Lord. So they're unchanged. So an unbroken person may be religious or legalistic, but not spiritual. So if you think about legalism is like a loveless devotion. I'm doing it because I have to, not because I want to. A relationship says, I want to do what pleases the Lord because I love the Lord. Not because I'm forced to. It's a voluntary cooperative effort. Amen. This is something that we volunteer to do. God doesn't force your will. But he invites you into his fellowship. He invites you into his life. He wants you to know the joy of his presence. The joy of fellowship. Come on. There's no greater high than the high of the Lord. There's no greater peace than the peace of the Lord. It's a peace that passes what? Our understanding, our soul. Hallelujah. That means things can be going crazy in your life, but you can have a supernatural peace that's overcoming that insecurity that's in your soul, man. So if you spend more time feeding your soul than you do your spirit, your soul man will be in charge and you'll find yourself anxious. You'll find yourself weak. You'll find yourself susceptible to temptation. Why? Because you can only by the spirit overcome that outer man. Come on. You'll find yourself being drawn away to things you shouldn't be looking at, listening to things you shouldn't be listening to, engaging in conversation you shouldn't be engaging in because your soul is prone to wander. Amen. But the soul that is submitted to the Spirit has life and peace and has control. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where is the Lord? The Lord is in my spirit. Hallelujah. I have the Lord in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I can do everything what by the grace of God that he provides for me by his spirit. But I have to be willing to yield to that part and deny the outer man. Jesus, you know, was our example, wasn't he? He denied his will perfectly. He fulfilled all the Father's will. The only way Jesus could overcome temptation was by relying on the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It's the same thing for us today. You and I cannot overcome, okay, the sin nature, the flesh, the devil, the world, except by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We need to pay attention to our spirit because it influences everything else in your life. Guard your heart with all diligence. It affects everything. It is so important. And again, we have to understand that we're in a war and the enemy is trying to divert you by spending all your time just feeding your soul, man. Your pleasures, come on, and not feeding your spirit, which is the most important part of you, because it's the command and control center. So think about this. Your soul is like the command and control center of your earthly life, okay? Where we're engaging the outward world, amen? And our will and our emotions, right? And the decisions we make are, God gave us creativity. Your soul is a good thing. The soul can be restored. The mind can be renewed. Amen. But it has to be by the Spirit. And so, but your spirit is the part of you that is able to commune with God. All right. And so that is the most important part, is that we have communion with God in our spirit. That we focus on building up, if you will, strengthening the inner man, the spirit man, through the Word of God, through prayer, amen, through the disciplines. Could be fasting and prayer, amen. Singing, giving thanks, giving praise to God in your hearts, amen. Making music in your heart to the Lord. Working where? In the spirit, strengthening the spirit, all right, by the Spirit of God. So then we can overcome our weakness and overcome our soul. And our soul then becomes the servant of the Lord, meaning I become the servant of the Lord because my soul is submitted to him now. I will to do his will. My will has to come under the will of God. Amen. if you don't deal with that will, and God's going to deal with your will. Amen. Because he's looking for a vessel that's not going to be like that wild stallion that's just running amok, doing its own thing, not being productive. Come on. He wants to bring that stallion into a place where it is broken and it is a good vessel that he can ride. Amen. And that he can direct in this world. Hallelujah. And that's a good place to be. Would you agree with me? We always say it here, but life is good in the God zone. You got to get in the zone. You got to focus on your spirit. Build up your spirit, man. Hallelujah. That's where you have life. You have peace. You have joy. All the things, all the fruit, amen, flows from the heart of God. And if your spirit is in harmony with God, amen, then your mind, your will, and your emotions will also come under the authority of the spirit. And in your mind, you have peace. Yeah. Your will is submitted then to the will of God. Amen. Even your emotions are at rest now. I have a feeling, come on, of peace. If your spirit is right with God, then your soul, amen, will also come under the influence of the Holy Spirit, where there is righteousness and peace and joy. Is that making sense? And so if we're not taking the time to focus on building up our spirit, our innermost being, all right, worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord, giving thanks to the Lord, feasting on his word, amen, singing, making melody unto the Lord, all right, these, then the rest of your life is not going to be under that influence. And then what happens is you become kind of blurred between, is this my soul or is this my spirit? But when you are strong in the Lord, when you're strong in your spirit, there's a distinction. Then you begin to recognize clearly the voice of the Lord when he's speaking. But if I'm kind of blending in more and more into my soul, man, than I am in the spirit, come on. And the word of God is that divider, amen, between the soul and the spirit, the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So you can know the difference between your spirit and your soul. But if it's kind of bleeding over to the soul more, amen, then I'm confused. You know, I don't know what God expects. What does God want for me? What is God's will for me? How many here know God's will for your life? How many want to know God's will for your life? You're not going to know it through your intellect. You can only receive revelation from God in your spirit that will then influence your intellect so that your mind and your spirit come into harmony. All right? And then you're at peace and you have the mind of Christ and you know what God expects of you. So that's why we worship. That's why we pray. That's why we cry out to the Lord, Lord, fill me now. Fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Amen. We want to be filled. Amen. We got to have oil in the lamp. The spirit of man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord. Amen. But you got to have oil. Otherwise, it's kind of like useless, isn't it? Without the oil. So we need to have the supply of God's presence. Amen. So that the lamp is being used effectively. Hallelujah. Jude, can you bring that back up again, that example? I just thought about this. So if you see right here, it's hard to see, but it's just like that candelabra or whatever you want. See this menorah? All right. That's actually right there. It's not hard to see, but it's right there. And they were to keep oil continuously supplied. Now, this part speaks of our soul, okay, our outer man. This, the tabernacle would be what? Your body. And here is your spirit where you commune with God, okay? So am I in the way here? And here's the candle stand. You see it? Well, the priest had to keep the oil continuously supplied. They were not to allow those to go out. Why? Because that's what illuminated, hello, the mind. And right there was the showbread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So we see a revelation of Christ through the illumination of the Spirit. The Spirit reveals Christ to us. You see it? And so our minds are to be controlled, right, by the Spirit. And here was the altar of incense, where the Bible talks about bowls of incense in the throne. Amen. The intercession of God's people as we intercede, as we pray. It's like a sweet, there's sweet odors, if you will, or incense that flows before what? The throne of God. Huh. Right here, of course, was the laver, right, where they would wash. And there was brass mirrors in there. So when they were washing, they could see a reflection of themselves. Right? We're looking into the perfect law of liberty. Amen. We're seeing a reflection. James talked about looking into the word. Amen. And if we forget sometimes what we look like, so we have to go back and look into the word again. Amen. And oh yeah, that's right. That's what I look like. Just moving right along. So there's so much here, but the point I'm trying to make is that God's dealing right now with us, okay, so that we are Spirit-led, Spirit-filled people, all right, and our soul is submitted to the will of God who dwells within our hearts, amen? Sorry about the shake there. But then this veil right here, okay, is sometimes like our stubborn will that sometimes gets in the way. So God deals with us through discipline, if you will, to keep that, to tear that, so that we become a broken vessel that is able to release the life that is within us, right there, through the veil, come on, into the what? Into the mind, amen? And then, of course, the body will follow suit, because it's the mind, the will, and the emotions, the soul right here, that controls what happens in the body. So if I am led by the Spirit and my soul is submitted to the Spirit of God, then my body will also be disciplined, amen, by my soul that is submitted to the Spirit of God. Is that making sense? So I have to focus, amen, on spending time here in worship. Because if we're carnal, we're not able to reveal the life of Christ. If we're soulish, if we're just focusing on our soul, come on, doing what our desires tell us to do. Your spirit says, I want you to get up and I want you to pray. I want you to get in the word. I want you to go to fellowship. I want you to go to prayer meeting. Your spirit says, I want you to go to church and gather, amen, with the people of God. But your soul is saying, I'm tired. I don't want to do it. I don't feel like it. Are you seeing that? So you got to make sure that the rider, amen, is there, presence, amen. And that the rider is the one in charge of the horse. So that horse is doing what's supposed to do. Otherwise, it's going to be just running around doing its own thing. Independent. Nobody tells me what to do. See, the Lord knows how to get a hold of us. He knows how to break us and bring us to a place where we can be user friendly. Why? Because the Lord loves us that much. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And it's only by the Spirit that we can control this part of us and have life and peace and be an expression of God's life in this world around us. Jesus himself, it says he learned obedience through the things he suffered. We learn obedience to him by the things we suffer in life as well. Hebrews 5:7, who Jesus in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries, loud cries, and tears to him who was able to save him from death. That is the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous one. Amen. And he was heard because of his godly fear. You see, our spirit cries out for fellowship with God. Your soul wants to do its own thing. But if you will obey the call of God, the wooings, the promptings of the Spirit to come and fellowship and go deep, deep crying out to deep, spirit to spirit. Those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Then you will become filled with the presence of the Lord, and your soul will be humbled in His presence, and you'll have life and peace and joy. Are you hearing me? In the Holy Spirit. You'll have that mind that's illuminated, hallelujah, by the oil of God. And then there will be the reflection of Him through our lives. How many of you know people need Jesus? Amen. Amen. And God's looking for a vessel, someone that will yield themselves, submit themselves to Him, and allow Him to live in and work through, amen, our lives. So I'm praying, God, create hunger in our hearts for You, for Your presence. Yes. Because without You, we can do nothing. We can't be soulish, amen, and expect to have any influence or to bear any fruit. God wants us to become spiritual. And a spiritual person, amen, is one who has control of their soul. And when the soul is under control, so will the body. You will have this thing called self-discipline. All of us are weak naturally. So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God. And the power of God is being made available to us now, freely. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Huh. We cannot be who we're called to be, and we cannot do what we're called to do apart from the Spirit of God. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. So Lord, I'm asking You today, would You stand with me? We can't allow our minds and our feelings to control us anymore. Oh, Lord, we love You so much. God, I'm asking, Lord, that You would unite us together in the Spirit. That we, Lord God, will join our hearts together as a body, as a people. That we, Lord, will be a corporate temple of Your Holy Spirit, each member supplying what is lacking to the other. Lord, I'm asking that our hearts will be infused, will be filled with Your holy presence. Lord, we're asking You to baptize us with Your Holy Spirit and with Your fire. Lord, we want our lamps to be burning brightly for You. Lord, we want our mind, our will, and our emotions under the control of Your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we pray that You bring our spirit into harmony with Your Spirit. That once again, Lord, our lives will be a light. That we'll be salt once again. An influence for You in this world. Because it's not by might nor power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So the Spirit cries out to Spirit. Would you stand with me? If you're standing, I want you just to lay your hand right now on your heart. That is your innermost being. It's not the pump in your chest. Amen. Just lay your hand right there. And understand that is the seat of God's throne in you, where you commune with God. And if you pray in the Holy Spirit, if you pray in tongues, I want you to pray right now. Begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. We're just going to do it corporately right now. This is a personal time between you and the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and let the praise begin to flow out of your being. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And say, Lord Jesus, I want You to touch my spirit right now. I want You to make me alive again. I asked you to empower me again. I asked you to fill me again. And I asked you to capture my heart and my mind and bring me into subjection, submission to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we praise you and we thank you, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we bless you and we praise you, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah. I feel the fire of God, the fire of God. Lord, I pray the fire of God will once again burn. Lord, burn in us, your people, Lord. Set us ablaze for you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Satan, we reject you in Jesus' name. Loose the people of God in Jesus' name. And Lord, let the glory of your presence fill your temple. Hallelujah. Illuminate our minds, Lord God. Give us the mind of Christ. Reveal to us the will of God in Christ that concerns us. Fill us with the knowledge of your will. And Lord, make your will our desire. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kul shatarama.